Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, Steiny asked the question that is the question, and we will ask it today as well. And there's a lot to say. And yeah, Steve Kerr is going to be on the show, and you will hear exit interviews from a number of the players as well. But it's pretty simple today. What'd you think?
Yeah, 888-957-9570. What'd you think? I was, and again, if I use the word disgusted or embarrassed, I'm obviously doing that in a sports context. I was not physically ill. Watching that game and watching them fall behind early, I thought, this can't possibly go that way. Warriors rally, they get it close at halftime. They go on a mini run to start the third quarter, and I had the same thought. Here we go. Warriors going on a run. The better team, the experienced team. Warriors are back in this thing. They're going to turn the tides, and they're going to beat Sacramento. They're not going out against Keegan and Keon. And then Keegan was unguardable, and Keon Ellis was open, and he was knocking him down. And the one that kind of drove the stake in my heart a little bit, forget De'Aaron Fox, because he's mostly unguardable. That guy can get his shot in the mid-range, the midi mark. De'Aaron Fox, he can find his way from 18 to 10 feet. The dude can score.
He's a good player.
The one that hurt the most was a sequence of Sabonis. When Sabonis had a couple of, he had one and he had some rebounds.
He was good. He was good in the first half. He was kind of
foul trouble. And yeah. I was like, and he has his, does he always have a black eye?
Yeah, you know what? Christy asked the same question, and I had decided the answer must be yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That must be a thing. Become almost like a birthmark or whatever.
Kind of.
Or he's so annoying that someone always punches him in the face.
He's a physical player.
I don't know.
When he got into foul trouble and then the Warriors made that mini run to start the third, I was excited. I was thinking, okay, here you go, Dubs. You've had Sabonis flummoxed a little bit. He's in foul trouble. Time to go on a run. And then trip after trip after trip, they couldn't stop anybody. And on the other end, it was miss, miss, miss. Score, score, score. That thing got back to 12, and I was like, this ain't good.
Well, I think it's really, it's a day to find out what yesterday did to your brain. You know what I mean? Like, what were the, where does your brain go when you see something like that? And I think we've all been there in life. This is not to take some sort of a shot. Like, I want this to be the first thing that we say, because it is possible that the era of Steph, Clay, and Draymond on the same team is over. It's possible. We don't know. But just because of that possibility, let me first say this. Thank you guys so much.
For what?
Holy hell. Like, and maybe you're just all going to be back in October. But oh my God, like, please let that be the first thing that goes out today. Thank you guys so much for the most epic thing I have ever seen in my life in terms of basketball. And yes, I was a basketball fan in the 80s and early 90s. And yes, I didn't watch Michael Jordan as a Bulls fan, but I saw that. I found this to be more, maybe not like more effective in terms of basketball. I found this to be more connected with its fan base. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anything like Steph Curry. I've never seen anything like the ball moving the way that it moves. So the number one thing that I want to say today is thank you. Thank you, Warrior organization. Thank you, Big Three. Thank you, Steve Kerr, for what has been the most unbelievable NBA ride of our lifetimes. I grew up with Chris Cohan as the owner. Thank you so, and Joe Lacob,
right.
Thank you so much for what has just been incredible.
Yeah, I hope.
Thank you.
You know, it may or may not be over.
And maybe it's not over. It's over in its form.
It's over.
It's over in its form.
And that's kind of what I was saying in the crossover, because if they do bring back Clay and Steph and Draymond are still here, and I think that they are going to bring back Clay Thompson, and I agree with you that his price probably, it didn't just go down last night, but around the league, if you're looking at a high leverage spot, and there's a stat, I think Grandy tweeted it out about the last three elimination games for Klay Thompson, and the numbers haven't been good in the last three elimination games, and coming off of two career-threatening injuries and all the rest of it, I do think that they're going to bring him back. But for me, the viability of those three being a championship trio, it's over.
Well,
unless you can somehow extricate a player who is actually a one. So if you bring in somebody who's a one, and then Steph is the 1A, or even if Steph's the two, then now we've got some action, but there's only a couple, three or four of those guys who you could possibly bring in.
Totally.
And that's a conversation for down the road.
Not that far down the road, but yes, not today.
Right?
Not today. I think today is about managing our emotions, processing what we've just seen to understand where we've been, how we got here. This is what I meant a week and a half ago when I said, you got to stop calling them the Big Three. It doesn't mean, a lot of people took that to mean I wanted certain portions or parts of them off of the roster. No, the Big Three are done, not necessarily in Warrior uniforms. They're just done because they're not the Big Three anymore.
Right.
They need to be the big, like, 1, 4, and 7. That's what they are.
Well,
or something like that.
I get where you're going.
Do you
going.
Know what
yep.
I'm saying?
Yep.
Okay, so that's number one. But number two is, and I bet we've all experienced this in one way, shape, or form in our lives. My God, I sure have. And in recent years. We kind of got duped. And that's okay. That's not on the Warriors, and it's not on us. It's just the way that it all goes down. We have spent the entire year. Well, if they just didn't blow those 24-point leads, if Jokic hadn't hit the half-court shot, I hope that last night showed that the Warriors are exactly where they should be. So if you want to use the word should, surround that sentence. I don't want to hear they should be the 5 seed. I don't want to hear they could be the 4 seed. I don't want to hear that if Draymond hadn't been suspended, they should, they could. My 10-year-old son, I drove him to school today. You want to know what he said? He goes, Dad, you know what happened this year? The Warriors just got unlucky. I said, oh, really? Why do you feel that way? He goes, because they had a better record than last year. If they had just done this last year, they would have been the 4 seed. So the Western Conference just isn't right.
It's the conference's fault.
And I said, son, that's the way it goes.
Did you stop the car?
Well, we were out of stoplights,
okay.
So it was okay.
Okay,
so I could turn toward him and be like, so, this is a teachable moment. That's not bad luck. You have got to measure yourself against whatever is in front of you at all times every year, and it's a new story every day when you wake up. And the Warriors are exactly where they should be. They are not good enough. Ramona Shelburne said the other day, it did not work. She said it in a past tense. It did not fit. It did not fit. And so it is time to change this thing. We all have our own definition of what wholesale changes means. Is that a tweak? Is that a twist? Is it this person off the roster? Is it that person on? As you said, we've got all summer long for that. But my two messages today are, A, thank you all so much for what has been absolutely incredible, followed by, I don't want to hear any more ifs and shoulds.
Right.
They are exactly where they are supposed to be, which is watching.
They went 5-21 against the top 7 in the Western Conference. And if you want to throw the Lakers in there, they were 3-1 against the Lakers, 2-2 against Sac. by and large, you were 10 and basically 27 against the teams ahead of you in the Western Conference. So, yeah, you're the 10 seed because you didn't beat the teams that were ahead of you. And luck, good luck, bad luck. Well, Draymond getting suspended is not bad luck. That's bad acting. And it's a guy who's got a track record. And so that's the way that's going to go. Other than that, you didn't have a lot of bad luck. Steph was healthy. He missed a small handful of games.
The Kings did. The Clay, Kings had bad luck. Clay, two of their best healthy players were watching last night.
Chris Paul broke his hand.
Right.
Other than that, Andrew Wiggins missed only four games this year, or five games due to a personal absence, as opposed to 25 last year. So you actually didn't get much bad luck at all. And you wound up where you wound up. And now I'm kind of in your camp as far as the appreciation. I woke up this morning. The emotions had calmed a little bit. And I had that moment of reflection where if they do want to run this back, and by run it back, I mean keep Clay, keep Steph, and keep Draymond, I don't believe that that's going to be a winning formula under any circumstance. But at the same time, I'd kind of be okay with it because they've provided so much winning in the past. If this is the way Joe Lacob wants to go about it and re-sign Clay for whatever number and, you know, maybe shuffle some of the pieces and still wind up being an 8 or a 9 or a 10 seed next year, I'll allow it. I won't be that mad.
That phrase, I think, is going to become a little bit of a trigger for Warriors fans. If I were Steve Kerr's advisor, and I'm not, I would have told him, don't do what you did last night. Don't use the phrase, run it back. That's something you do when you lose in the conference finals.
Yeah.
You don't do that when you lost by 24 in the 9-10 play-in game on the road. That you don't use the word, we want to run it back. That's not going to get people's minds in the right place, because you can't run it back. Yes, you can have a lot of the same names, but there better be some new ones, and their responsibility of this current group better change, because one thing was abundantly clear last night. There is way too much responsibility on the shoulders of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green because they can't handle it anymore. That is too much responsibility for them. I also brought up the story of my son, because if you're out there saying that the Warriors got unlucky, I'm just letting you know, you sound like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up.
And I like,
he's 10.
It's fair.
He's 10, so he gets to say that.
To feel
he's
that allowed way. To. That's yes, right. He was born in 2014.
That's right.
He was barely alive when they started this unbelievable run, which I'm glad you expressed your appreciation, because it took me last night and I woke up this morning and I had that same sort of feeling, because this has been amazing. And this is my favorite team. This is my Giants, you know, related to you and how much you love the Giants. That's how much I love the Warriors. So I do feel this team at a deeper level than the other two teams. And so I've waited for them to even be decent my whole life. Nice. And then not only were they decent, they were dynastic. And now it feels like it's over, but I'm trying not to forget how great the last 10-plus years have been.
888-957-9570. High priority today to get all of you and all of your thoughts on the air. It is that kind of a day, and I want you all to know that. That's what we're going to prioritize today. Yes, Steve Kerr is going to join us. We've got a ton of post-game and exit interview sound to play for you because it's important, and there's more to come because the likes of Kevon Looney and Klay Thompson are still going to speak today, and we know that you all want to hear that. But on an emotional day, we really want to hear from you. What did that feel like? 888-957-9570. Okay, Manny in San Jose, you're first up. Hey, Manny, what are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
What's up?
Yeah, so just want to say a few things about last night's loss. Right? Steve Kerr lineup for starting Trevor Jackson Davis, I think that put them in a hole. And he played Clay too much. Even when we were like 1 point down, he just kept him in there. Right? So Steve Kerr has to be responsible for somehow.
Okay, my only question to that, because I think Steve Kerr said last night, and he will again at 5, he'll tell you about some of his shortcomings this year and even last night. you know, you mentioned starting Trace Jackson Davis, which is what this team has been doing for the last number of weeks, and it's been working very well. So I don't know why they would have gone away from that last night. But let's focus more broadly on your premise. If last night is Kerr's fault, then that sounds to me like you think that the players that need to be in place are in place. So in other words, do you feel like the roster is good enough?
I think the roster was good enough against Sacramento, not to win the whole thing.
Okay.
But they could have won one game against Sacramento if he would manage his rotation well.
Okay, and that's a fair opinion. It is one with which I disagree. Thank you, Manny. They got boat raced last night. Manhandled every single rotation, every mix
right.
scientifically that you put on the court got absolutely crushed. So I'm not going to tell you it's a great night for Steve Kerr. I'm going to tell you that if you're putting all the blame on him, that means you think that the roster was good enough to win that game. And after watching the way that it looked, I mean, I was completely wrong with my pregame breakdown of the way that thing looked. Sacramento won that, could have won it by more, and if they were healthier, they would have won it by even more.
Well, and the Warriors were a step slow and a rotation slow all night on defense. And so you start TJD, but you don't put him on Sabonis because Sabonis plays away from the basket. And so I think TJD was defensively a little out of sorts. Yep. Then he had the ghastly turnover, and Steve took him out.
Yep.
So you can blame Steve for starting him, but I'm with you. It's a starting lineup that's been working over the last month or so. So you go with it, and you realize at the, and I want to get it right here, at the 7 minute and 15 second mark. So 4 minutes and 45 seconds, you're only down five. You take him out, you put in Pods, who wasn't terrific last night either. So what is Steve supposed to do?
It wasn't horrible,
when
though.
He's got, you know, Steve has probably 3 to 3.5 players actually playing well.
Well, I mean, like, that's the thing. Our perspective got so wonky because if I asked you, like, who looked good last night for the Warriors?
Moses Moody looked good.
Okay.
Right?
He was all right.
I mean, Kuminga looked pretty good. There was times where...
I think we think those guys look good because of how bad everyone else looked.
Exactly.
I didn't think anybody looked great.
I thought Steph struggled.
Oh, God, it was not a good game for Steph Curry.
The turnovers, some of the careless turnovers, he's getting picked. And, you know, Draymond was... He was all right.
Fine.
He's fine.
He had that one defensive play against Sabonis. That was fine.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was a great play.
And that was another part of the we're not calling fouls portion of the game.
Yeah, a little bit, although that one
was clean.
It was clean-ish.
But it was physical.
Yeah, it was. We're sponsored by the Alameda County Probation Department, and the Warriors are on probation. It's official. 888-957-9570. Manny wet our whistle, but that's what it's going to sound like. What do you think? How did last night make you feel, and it made your Warrior brain go where? Let's keep on talking it out. Steve Kerr's coming up. Klay Thompson and Kevon Looney's exit interviews are coming up. This is Weather and Dibs.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I can never see myself, you know, not with those two guys. I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever, but, you know, we've experienced so much together. And at the end of the day, like, again, I know they want to win, I know I want to win, and that's all I'm worried about.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
Okay, Steph, I'm going to have your back right here. I don't think he said yesterday what a lot of you think he said. Steve Kerr said what you think he said. We need Klay back. Steph said, I could never see myself without those two guys. Sure. Like, y'all have a spouse? Y'all have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Could you see yourself without them? I mean, in this moment, probably not. But spoiler alert,
yeah,
some of you will encounter something that you don't see coming.
Yeah, and some of us have gotten to that point.
Yep.
And have, in fact, been able to see life without that person.
And so Steph might too. Like, I thought it was more important when he was kind of wrapping what he was saying at the end. He's like, I can't see myself without those guys, but all that matters is I want to win.
Right.
So if behind the scenes there are conversations going on, and this offseason plays however it plays, or Clay gets an offer for $32 million a year from the Orlando Magic, and he wants to take that, well, then guess what? All they want to do is win. And if they feel like with what unfolds, their chances of winning are better without one another than they are with, then they're going to learn exactly what it feels like.
Right.
Even though they can't see it right now.
Yes, and it might just come down to what you're talking about, which is money and role, because right now he's making $42 million, or last year we can now say he made $42 million.
Remember last year?
Right. He was the second highest paid player on the Warriors, and he did not play like a number two on a playoff team, and they were the 10 seed, and he was making 42. So if Clay comes in at a number that is more conducive to a guy who's a role player, doesn't mean he can't start, doesn't mean he can't play 25 to 30 minutes a night, but it probably would mean he becomes more of a designated shooter and more of a fourth best defender on the floor, less of a primary option than he's been so far throughout his career.
Agreed, agreed. So plenty of time for that, and that'll unfold. We do want to go to the calls. Stay right there. I want to play two quick pieces of sound for you. Do you want to know behind the scenes who the Warriors are picking? I mean, you're sort of going to know this already, but the whole Kuminga-Wiggins thing.
Gotcha.
Can they play together? Can you figure this out? We found something. They can play together a little bit. We love Wiggs. All the things that you hear all season long. Listen to these exit interviews. You want to know which one the Warriors are going to choose? All right. Here's Jonathan Kuminga when asked about his future.
I love it here. Love it here. Like I said, I love it here, and the rest of the thing's going to end itself. So.
Okay. 6 seconds, three times. I love it here. Once again, Kuminga, what do you think? Like, I don't know. What about here? How's that sound?
I love it here. Love it here. Like I said, I love it here, and the rest of the thing's going to end itself. So.
I love it here. I love it here.
And like I said,
I love it here. Okay, hey, Wiggs, did you know that there might be conversations involving moving you this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. We never know what could happen, who's going to be here, who won't. You never know. No, that's the NBA. You know, all you can do is, you know, take care of what you can take care of, what you can control.
So we got like 18 I love it here's from Kuminga,
yep.
And we got 18 you never knows,
yeah,
from Andrew Wiggins. And now you know which one the Warriors choose.
Well, you also know which one they tried to move back in February.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty well-known, I don't know if it's a fact, but it's a sourced report from a number of different sources that they were shopping Andrew Wiggins, and they didn't get the return that they would have liked. Otherwise, I do think they would have moved off of Andrew Wiggins at the trade deadline. And now you get to a spot where if they are players who duplicate each other too much to keep, you're going to side with the younger player who's got more of an upside as opposed to the enigmatic player who, you know, had one great season, all-star, champion, and has otherwise been kind of just okay.
I will be... Is the word shocked? That might be strong.
Surprised.
I will be very surprised if Andrew Wiggins plays for the Warriors next year. I'll be very surprised if Andrew Wiggins plays for the Warriors next year.
You'd be shocked if they traded Jonathan Kuminga.
Yes.
And kept Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, God, yes.
And you'd be very surprised if they both were on the team come October.
Correct.
That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would be, you can just put it this simple. I'd be very surprised if Wiggins is on the team. I'd be shocked if Jonathan Kuminga is not.
Yeah, I don't know what the stronger word than shocked is.
I would be shocked.
Right.
I would be shocked if Jonathan Kuminga is not on on the team next year. Adrian in the city with Willard and Dibs. Hi, Adrian. What are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. I'm just, you know, I'm driving over here and I'm just thinking about things and I'm a little heated, you know. First of all, just to qualify myself, been a longtime fan since 1988, so allow me to cook over here real quick.
Go, chef.
Coaching staff. You know, I honestly, I blame the coaching staff. How can you not call a timeout? This is what I love about Greg Popovich. He would make things look so ugly in a game. You know, you're in hostile territory, you're playing on the road, and then in the first quarter you go down big, and instead of being a pest and calling timeout and seeing that your players don't quite have it there, instead of you interjecting yourself to go and help the team win, you just let them ride this out a la Phil Jackson status and think that with your aged players that you can make this kind of move? That's number one. Number two, Trace Jackson Davis was cooking for the last like 20 games of the season. You had him in your starting rotation, balling. And then all of a sudden you want to go back to Kevon Looney, who hasn't really been playing much, and then expect that he's just going to turn on a light switch just like that? These things don't make sense to me. Then you go and you cut the lead back in, and then all of a sudden, what happens next? Man, you get cooked, and you go down. You were as close as 4 points, and you go down 15-17, and you don't know how to call a timeout. What are you saving the timeout for?
So, again, with full acknowledgement of your emotions, Adrian, your feeling is that the Warriors might have won last night had they called a couple of timeouts.
You know what? It's not just that they would have won had they had called timeouts. They would have won if they had been coached better and placed in positions that are better. Clay, unfortunately, was stinking it up. He's had a solid couple good games as of recent. But, man, when he wasn't cooking, you had to realize Moses Moody has been doing the damn thing. He's been cooking. Kuminga's been cooking. Paz has been cooking. These young guys have been doing well. Yet you refuse to go to these young guys and you want to hold on to the past of what was. You're not doing anything at all to go free up Curry. And Curry is getting mauled. He's got three guys on him at every single point. And if you got three guys on you, guess what? Two other guys are open. But Curry can't find the other two guys because they're just gone. And that means Wiggins too. Because Wiggins has been playing like a bum. I get that he's going through personal stuff. I feel for him. I heard about what's going on for him. I feel for him. But you know what? He hasn't been right all year last year, and even this year, he's not the same guy. And Minnesota was glad to get rid of him.
That's 1,000 years ago. So that's I don't even think that's not relevant because that's not why they were getting rid of Andrew Wiggins. Adrian, let me see if I can split the difference here because I know the way today a lot of these conversations are going to go.
A lot of Kerr in the crosshairs is what I'm forecasting.
People process at different speeds, and that's totally normal and fine. So I'm personally no longer, I left in the fourth quarter the idea of we could have won this game. Like, that left in the fourth quarter last night.
Yeah.
For some people it was this morning, for others it'll be tonight, for some people it'll be July. And that's totally fine. I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. But every time, every one of you who is going to blast Steve Kerr today, what happens in my brain when you do that is it tells me you think the answers are on the roster. And I disagree with you.
Well, I think a lot of people think that the answer is in the coaching staff. So with a new coach, a different coach, then what you have on the roster would be better because you'd have a better coach. And so you wouldn't have blown all those games. You wouldn't have been in the spot to begin with. I'm playing devil's advocate because I'm not of that same mindset. And I look at last night in particular, you shoot 41% with 16 turnovers and you shoot 31 from three. You're going to lose, especially when the other team shoots lights out and they turn it over seven times. And that, to me, there's not a coach in the history of the game who could have led you back. And yeah, maybe a timeout here or there would have stopped the bleeding, but
yeah, like,
you were getting run no matter if you called timeout or didn't call timeout.
That's what I mean by splitting the difference. If I acknowledge that Steve Kerr didn't have his best game last night, can maybe others, those of you on the Steve Kerr wagon, can you acknowledge that last night was a hell of a lot bigger than him? Like, boy, are we overusing the word cooking. Not everybody was cooking. No, Trace Jackson Davis was not cooking. And by the way,
he was saying of late.
Yeah, but like, right. And then he went out there and last night looked awful.
Looked like a rookie.
And you coach that as a game seven situation, which every coach in every sport will tell you, we've got no time for you to work out your stuff. And I know you may say, well, then why is Clay out there? Fair question. Fair question. However, I'll still go back to the same thing we've said all year. You want the Warriors coach, whoever it is, to be a psychic. You want them to know who's going to hit the next shot. Moses Moody wasn't really, quote, cooking. He was good. He was good. Could he have gotten six more minutes last night? Sure. But Moses Moody has been the backup quarterback of this team all year. You've always wanted him in, and every time a game doesn't go well, you scream Moses Moody. And the bottom line is that's not who Moses is. He's a good player. He's not that kind of a difference maker.
Right.
Anybody who thinks Moses Moody was the key to this team getting deep into the playoffs, come on. This is a rotational player who is solid, who we could argue should have gotten more minutes. That's all fair.
Right.
The idea that he was the key that unlocks this whole thing, come on. That's not who he is.
And if you want to criticize Steve Kerr for sticking with Klay Thompson as he goes 0 for 10 in 31 and a half minutes, you can do that. But just know that's what Steve did when they won championships, is he defaulted to veterans and he stuck with guys. And the thing about Klay Thompson that we've all said, when Klay gets hot, then that's great. And when Klay's not hot, you got to shoot your way out of it. And so last night was a spot where if he hits one,
you never know.
And he hits a couple.
That's what I mean by being
a
psychic.
Maybe he hits five of six.
Right, like you all, it's as if in the second quarter you all thought Klay was gonna go goose egg.
Right,
and none of us thought that. We're like, he's gonna hit one at some point.
You would figure.
He never did.
No,
he never did. I just don't put it this way. I don't see a way they would have won that game. There's no way they were going to win that game.
Well,
not with who they had, not with the way they coached it, not with the way they rotated, not with the effort, not with nothing.
Well, and give Sacramento credit.
Absolutely.
Because
that's what I mean. They were
Keegan Murray was 8 of 13 from 3, and Keon Ellis was 3 of 4, and Harrison Barnes, ladies and gentlemen.
Well,
Harrison Barnes.
I did my 5 minutes on Harrison last night.
He was like a human Post-it last night. Stick it to him. Anything?
I had a feeling he was going to be good.
Yeah.
I had a feeling he was going to be good.
No, like, he was more than good.
Yeah.
He was determined. He was focused. He was great.
He's a good player.
It was a plus 29 in that game, Mark. But even if the Warriors played better, Sacramento was fantastic. For me, the bigger issue is not Clay's 0 for 10. It's the fact that he couldn't guard Keegan Murray. That was a bigger factor, in my opinion, of the Klay Thompson part of the loss.
The Kings, like, this was an NBA thing. There's no matchup that, if it's played that way, wouldn't have gone in the direction of whoever the Kings were last night. In other words, I don't care who played. You could have played the Pistons last night. If they get looks like the Kings got, contrasted with the Warriors not getting looks, it was just about open shots. It wasn't even about who was hot. The Kings' shots were open, and the Warriors' shots were contested. That's... You lose.
Yeah.
You lose.
Kings, especially when you turn it over more and get out-rebounded.
Kings outplayed them, like, severely.
Yeah.
Severely outplayed them. Alex in the city. Hey, Alex, what's good?
Hey, fellas, thank you. So, yeah, my first point was going to be the same. Like, the Kings, from the coaching staff to the players, they were locked in. They came out ready to keep TJD from being a vertical threat. They were taking everybody but Steph win the game, and it just worked out for them. They were shooting, defending, rebounding, passing, very crisp. On the Warriors' end, I think it's just boiled down to we're vet-heavy and rookie-heavy right now. We don't have a lot in between. That's because we had some things happen. Poole and Draymond couldn't get along. Wiseman didn't pan out. So in conclusion, I think next year we got to be able to either pick up some of those mid-range guys that are like five-year vets that are talented. But if that's not possible, then I think it's a rebuild. Thank you.
Nice uptick.
Thanks, Alex.
Yep.
Rebuild o'clock. They're not going to rebuild.
No. And
so we can have that conversation, but Joe Lacob's not doing that.
Well, honestly, if you were going to rebuild, that would take probably 2 to 5 years. And that would involve the departure of, well, everybody.
Yep.
And that would, you know, you'd trade Steph, you'd trade Draymond, you wouldn't sign Clay. You probably would keep Wiggins just to have somebody around and let Wiggins go out there and, right, you know, go 5-for-12 on an expansion style team, but you're just not going to rebuild. Joe Lacob's not doing the lottery.
And a lot of you don't
except for this year.
You say that, but you don't want that. Like, you can do this. This is an exercise you can do. Okay, let's rebuild. Let's go there. You're going to let Clay walk.
Yep.
You're going to trade Draymond.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to look for a way to trade Steph. Oh, now everybody's throat just locked up.
Yeah.
You're like, well, no, not that. Well, I'm sorry. That is rebuilding. You trade your people. You ever watch the Marlins win a World Series? Watch what they do the next year. Have you ever watched the Oakland A's in the offseason after somebody becomes good in their organization? You send them out. I don't care how big of a name they are or how fun they are to watch. Yep. They gone.
Boston Celtics did that after their title.
So you actually don't want that. You don't want a full rebuild. I don't think any of you, maybe a few of you, think that way, where it's literally like send everyone out the door. Plus, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The idea of trading Steph Curry is just words. Like, the matching of that number to find a team that wants to an about to be 37-year-old, 50-something million dollar a year contract with 2 years left. Who's giving you their star for that? And that doesn't mean rebuild. You like, it's not doable.
Right.
So if your take today is trade Steph Curry, you're welcome on the show.
Of course.
But it's just not a viable conversation, I don't think.
And for me, the only thing that could possibly make this team a competitive title kind of contender next year would be some sort of a dramatic move, or you get one of these expiring vets like a LeBron James to just choose to come here for dirt cheap. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how likely or viable that is. It's not even worth discussing at this point, but I look at the path forward and there really isn't a good path forward.
I don't know if I fully agree with that yet. This has to unfold and we have to see what's available.
Right.
And we've got a ton of time to do it. We could dip our toe in the water for a second. Do you want the Warriors to compete next year? Lauri Markkanen needs to be your two. That's like Lauri Markkanen. That's your two. That's your number two option. Lauri Markkanen.
So you'll do just about anything in your power, short of Kuminga, because nobody wants to trade Kuminga.
Short of Kuminga.
And you're going to convince Utah to take Wiggins and Moody and 3 first-round picks for Lauri Markkanen, who's making $14 million next year, I believe.
$18 million next year. You take a bad contract of theirs, and it's a lot more people and assets than what you just put out there. But yeah, something along those lines. And you might need to squint or tighten your shoulders up.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know if a Brandon Pajemski needs to be in the deal or a Poughkeepsie kid. Yeah. I don't know. But like, yes, I do think there is a conversation that can be had in a way where Lauri Markkanen can be your second option next year. A front court scorer. Somebody that takes pressure off of these guys who are running around like fireflies in their mid-30s with major injuries out by the three-point line trying to come up with high percentage looks. They can't do it anymore. These other teams are all able to. That's, to me, the key to the whole deal. What happened to the Warriors this year? The other team's looks are a higher percentage shot. And Steph Curry is so amazing that you can still win on some nights by having the lower percentage look. But not enough.
Right.
Not enough nights.
Well, especially when you're talking about 82 games and a guy who's going to be 37 next year and you don't have help.
And Kuminga is not ready to be Kevin Durant, where you're like, oh, there's 7 seconds left on the shot clock. You know what I call these guys. It's the, hey, dude, you take
it
guy. Hey, dude, you take it and go to the hole. Kuminga's not ready. Too many of his drives last night ended up with a ball that just shot straight up in the air, and with the officials not calling anything, it just whack him to the ground. The ball would go flying up to the top of the backboard, and the Kings are playing 5-on-4. Guess what they're going to get? A Keegan Murray open three-pointer.
Or Keon Ellis, from
whatever.
The corner.
And that's your game. So you need someone you can dump the ball into, play inside, outside. He's not had a 30th birthday. He can create a shot.
He can shoot the three.
And he can shoot the three. Like, you, that, like, to me, option A. And there's probably 10 options.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can get it done, but if I'm sitting down and I'm making a to-do list for the Warriors, there's your first bullet point.
Yeah, and it, you know.
Acquire Lauri Markkanen. Without giving up Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, and probably take three firsts you don't have this year's, and Utah's already stockpiling first from the Donovan Mitchell trade, which is how they got Lauri Markkanen. So you're looking for a team like Utah and a player like Markkanen, a clearly rebuilding team, and you can shovel picks and young players too.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. All right. In the 3 o'clock hour, you'll hear from Kevon Looney and Klay Thompson, but it's all you coming up next. 888-957-9570. How'd you feel after last night? Steve Kerr's 2 hours away on Willard and Dibs.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.